A bill in the House aims to reform the way the General Services Administration handles real estate. The Public Buildings Reform and Savings Act would realize billions in savings by enabling GSA to better handle consolidations, reduce space, negotiate the best possible lease deals. It would also bolster security at federal buildings. Lou Barletta represents Pennsylvania's 11th District. He's also chairman of the House Subcommittee for Economic Development, Public Buildings, and Emergency Management, and a co-sponsor of that bill. In our congressional spotlight, he told me why the pilot program is so important.
Because of the opportunities, the tremendous opportunities that we have to save taxpayer dollars. Number one, it's a buyer's market. Number two, there's very low financing cost. Interest rates are near historic lows, and there's a large turnover of GSA leases. 100 million square feet of leases will be expiring in the next 5 years. So our goal has been, since I became chairman, is to eliminate these short-term leases, which cost 20% more, and try to lock in the current low prices by replacing these leases on time with leases that are 10 years or longer. We want to shrink the footprint and the cost of these leases by reducing their size by at least 15 to 20%. That's been our goal. We want to negotiate major rent and relocation concessions for the government with these long-term leases. And a long-term lease of 10 years or more is the key to achieving what our strategy is. The problem is that GSA, and the challenge is that GSA cannot keep up with the expiring leases. They spend most of its time processing expensive short-term leases instead of working on these long-term lease replacements. 20% of GSA leases are in a holdover for 1 to 3 year extensions, and approximately 70% of GSA leases in 2014 were for 5 years or less. GSA has almost stopped completely using its commercial broker's contract to negotiate leases, and they overpay in the short term. They miss out on major concession packages, and these properties will be back in the market within 5 years when the market prices will likely be much higher and favor the building owners instead of the taxpayers. So, Tom, that's the reason that we felt it was necessary to have this streamlined leasing pilot program. And here's what it does. The pilot program really has three components to it. Number one, it increases the limit for GSA's simplified lease acquisition tool from $150,000 to $500,000 in annual rent. This cuts the internal approval process by several months to almost a year. Raising the cap would capture over 80% of all the lease transactions and the workload, but less than 40% of the lease contracts. So, we'd be capturing more of the smaller leases, which would give GSA the time to work the deals on the bigger leases, which is really where the big savings are.
By the way, are these numbers that GSA came up with and are asking for the legislation, or did this come out through some other form of research?
This came out through our work on the committee and working with GSA, where we feel that this will capture more of the small. We've been doing roundtables around the country and listening to what the problems are, and we've sensed the frustration with the fact that how long it takes GSA to process these smaller leases, and we really want them to focus on the larger deals, giving them more time. So this would take some of that work off their plate and give them the opportunity to really work on the larger savings. So, again, the whole goal is not to miss this window of opportunity that exists right now, but that window is getting smaller every day and as we move on. So,
and you mentioned two other components to the pilot program. Tell us about those.
The second part of the pilot program, which I think is very important, it authorizes GSA to roll the tenant agency's upfront move costs into the rent. Again, this was something that we've heard in doing our roundtables around the country with many of the agencies, that this is stopping agencies from really shrinking their footprint and cutting their lease costs because they didn't have the upfront move money. So this would allow GSA to be able to roll that in and allow these agencies now to look for the better deal rather than have a deal breaker because they just didn't have the upfront money to even begin. So that's the second streamlining to the pilot program. The third is it authorizes GSA to lease an entire building without having to identify the tenant agency beforehand. In soft real estate markets like Washington, D.C., for example, This will allow GSA to negotiate extremely good deals for the taxpayer. In exchange, GSA would commit to a lease of 10 years or more and fill the building with a good utilization rate. So rather than wait and have the agency standing in the batter's box in the on-deck circle, GSA can go out there, negotiate these long-term deals, and then fill the building with an agency that that they would have in mind or possibly are looking as their lease is getting near the end. So there are the three main components of this pilot program.
We're speaking with Representative Lou Barletta of Pennsylvania. And do you feel that GSA has the skills in-house to be able to negotiate those longer-term leases and all the benefits that they might be able to get from building owners in order to fulfill this plan?
Well, we think they have the skills if they have the time. You know, sometimes the lack of time and waiting, you know, as these leases come closer to expiring, really creates a lot of problem. But we also feel that there's some experts waiting to help with our real estate, with our brokers' contracts. I mean, we have the best of the best standing in our dugout, you know, waiting to help. So we don't feel that we're utilizing what we have. It's not that GSA doesn't have the skills to do it. We've put a lot of tools in that toolbox, and we're just not using of them. Is, you know, sometimes you know instead of just a little shovel, you need a loader or something a little bit bigger to dig that hole. And we have the tools. They just don't have the time to use all the tools that they have. So we feel taking some of these smaller leases off their plate, making some of the changes, and encouraging them to use the broker's contract, to use these experts that we've given them, will save millions. So we've already saved $2.5 billion for the taxpayers, Tom, in a short amount of time that we've been encouraging this shrinking of the footprint, negotiating long-term leases, 10-year leases, not 5-year firm. You know, I've heard that over and over again. You know, they're negotiating a 10-year lease, but it's 5-year firm. Well, you and I know what that means. If you're on the other end, if you're building a property owner, you're hearing a five-year firm lease. You're not hearing a 10-year lease. Because the agency can leave after 5. We don't want to negotiate like that. We want to negotiate out of strength, give them the tools. This is an opportunity, and we don't want to miss it. $2.5 billion can turn into a lot more if we do some of the things that we're encouraging GSA to do.
And what about calculating at what point it becomes economical to build a building, a federal building? And I think there's some provisions in this bill that would also change how construction is conducted.
The whole idea of the pilot program really was to make many of the sweeping changes we wanted in the leasing program. However, we don't want to stop progress. For example, the FBI right now is looking at a major project, and we don't want to stop progress there with new construction of an FBI building. We want that to continue. But what we really want to do is we want GSA to come to Congress on the big projects. You know, one of the examples that we use why we felt this was necessary, GSA picked up a 10-year-old authorization to build the new Los Angeles courthouse, which our committee felt was not justified or worth the money. So we want them to be able to come to Congress, and they have to seek approval if the projects will run more than 10% over budget on new construction. So it also sunsets project authorization after 5 years. So there are some of the changes in the bill that would deal with new construction. It would sunset project authorization after 5 years, so we won't have, you know, the Los Angeles courthouse example again. And it will make GSA to seek approval of the committee of Congress if projects run more than 10% over budget. So again, the whole idea is to save money on construction projects, but really take the opportunity, seize the opportunity that we have really in the leasing properties that we have, since 100 million square feet of leasing space will become available in the next 5 years. You can imagine how much money we can save.
And a final question, getting back to the construction idea, and that is the Homeland Security headquarters, which is, I don't know even where that mired project stands right now. They finished the Coast Guard, and that's about it. But part of the problem has been Congress's failure to fund it adequately going forward. And so that's getting to be an authorization that's probably would expire under the new bill. Any thoughts about what to do with DHS and the headquarters at St. E's?
Some of the things we're looking at, again, is public-private partnerships and an opportunity that we have, because appropriations, getting money through appropriations is going to be very difficult right now with all that's going on here in Washington with the national debt and cutting so many programs. But at the same time, the DHS is a perfect example where there's a need and we can save money, but we need to add another tool to that toolbox to make projects like DHS happen, and that we believe is public-private partnership. Partnerships can be an opportunity to help get some of these new construction projects, turn them into reality rather than have them sit there waiting and the authorization runs out and then we really start all over again. So time is money, and anything we can do to try to eliminate and shorten and streamline and run more efficiently is what the goal is.
And so would a private-public partnership look something like someone builds a building and then the government has a 100-year lease to it as opposed to a 10-year lease?
Well, yeah, I toured a courthouse out in California, and it was a state courthouse, and it was amazing. It was a design, build, finance, operate, and maintain project for 35 years, and they turned it over to the state of California. What they got with that building was a building that was built on time, under budget. All type of innovations were put into it since the builder was maintaining it for 35 years. So at the end of 35 years, the state of California gets a courthouse that's still like new, in great shape. And unlike many of our federal courthouses, you know, they're over budget. We starve it for maintenance money. They don't get money for maintenance, and at the end of 35 years, they're not in good condition. So I think we need to look at how we can change the way we do business and be more open to allowing some of that private capital that's sitting on the sidelines waiting for projects to happen. And here we are, the federal government, with projects waiting to need to be done. And we need to marry those two ideas. And try to again. The whole bottom line is how do we save money for the taxpayers in the long run?